It is Friday, the 20th of May, 2017. Hello.
Hello.
Can I ask you your name and your date of birth, please?
It's Carol Parker, 20th of October, 1938.
Okay, so you're almost a war baby.
I was born before the war.
Oh, yes. So, and I believe you've been in and around this area for a long time.
Yes, I was born down Bournemouth Street on School Courts Lane. And then I met my first husband when I was 17, and he lived at the centre of Newland End of Queen's Road. So we came on the avenue quite a lot.
And what were your earliest memories of the avenue from those days?
From when I was young, visiting the cinema.
Yes.
And then when I met my husband, we used to come round the avenue to go to a public house, Grafton.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but I also used to come shopping with my mother-in-law on the avenue. And so she worked as a cleaner in the fishmonger's shop. There was quite a lot of shops, fishmongers, electricians, plumbers. You could buy clothes, anything you wanted on the avenue. You didn't need to go into the city centre for anything. You could, there was ironmongers where you could buy screws, stepladders. There was a shop on the avenue that later on sold things like electric drills and saws and everything like that. There was the wood shop where you could buy wood and all DIY things. So there was a shop that sold things like ladders and steps and buckets. There was also a shop that sold paint. And then further down, later on, there was a shop that sold wallpaper and all decorating utensils. So really, it was self-sufficient, the avenue, for everything, from the chemist, which was at the opposite side of the road, hairdressers, everything you could buy, curtains, anything you wanted on the avenue without the need to go into the city centre.
So you spent quite a lot of time shopping with your mother-in-law down the avenue?
I did when I was younger, and also after we were married, my husband joined the RAF, so we travelled a while. But also, when we were in England, we were usually stationed in Lincolnshire, so we used to come home on leave, stay with my mother-in-law. So I used to do quite a lot of shopping before we went back, to take back with us, because the shopping was cheaper on the avenue than it was where we were stationed. So then after my husband died, I moved into this house on Newland Avenue, 1980. I moved into the house where I live now. But we've seen the avenue change an awful lot.
Is it a change that you're pleased to see?
No. We've lost all the local shops. When places like B&Q opened up, that meant all the local shops like plumbers and electricians all closed. And then gradually all the other shops have closed. So now for all it's all takeaways and cafe bars, which disrupt our lives quite a lot.
Do they?
Yes, with the noise and the rubbish. Usually when the late night bars leave at early hours of the morning, we walk by rowdy revelers.
So it's not a positive change as far as you're concerned?
No, it isn't.
So the houses now are occupied by different people as well as the shops?
Yes, a lot of them now are owned by people that live out of the town and rented out. People keep saying it's become more cosmopolitan, but for most of the younger people have moved out. So we're left with mainly the older people. And where we live now, instead of all being owner-occupiers, the first 20 houses down our street, we're the only residents still left. So we've got no neighbours. So we've got no one really to rely on if we need anything.
And that's very different from when you first moved in.
Yes, because they were all owner-occupiers and all the neighbours knew one another. When we were younger, we all helped out the older people, shopping and things like that. And also, when my son was in the Falklands War, when he came home, one of the neighbours had been round collecting from everyone, and there was a big street party down our street when he came home. So there were all there, the older ones, the young ones, that collected and put on a buffet, and there was music and dancing, and it was a great time. But now, and the Queen's Jubilee, we were asked if anyone would like to try and get together neighbours for a street party. There was only 6 people volunteered in our area, so it was called off.
So that was the recent
shame.
Jubilee?
Yes. So it's a shame, really. There's no community spirit anymore.
Though you are part of the Residents Association, and that's working towards getting the community interested?
Well, keep trying, but there's mainly the same few people that go, and it's mainly people over 70, the same as the Saturday morning cleaners and the people who do the flower boxes, they're all people over 70. We keep trying to get youngsters involved in keeping the avenue clean and everything, but they just don't want to know. We've been asking and asking for volunteers, but they're not interested.
Going back to the house when you moved in, that you say that was in the 80s?
1980.
Yes. Have you seen some big differences in the houses?
Yes, they're not so well kept anymore. The fronts aren't clean, the windows are dirty. We had a job getting a window cleaner after our other window cleaner retired, because not many people have the windows clean. And even when people move out, the landlords never clean the windows or change the curtains or anything. The fronts are never clean. There's wheelie bins all in the front forecourts. My husband was just speaking to a young woman when we came out, because there's grass along the walls and it's nearly 3 feet high. And my husband said, pointed it out to this young woman, and she said, "Oh, why has it happened?" And he said, "It's because people don't sweep the fronts anymore." And this, she said, "That how come it's not affected your house?" So my husband said, "Well, it's because we sweep it and we keep it clean, because it's our own house, where people who have rented are not bothered, because mostly the residents change every 6 months."
Yeah, there's obviously an issue there. And you mentioned about the wheelie bins. Is that an issue?
Yes, because a lot of them don't bother to pull them in or put them out on the right days. So my husband is 83 and he goes round at least 20 houses, pulls the bins out on collection day and goes back and puts them back when they've been emptied. Otherwise, we've just had a reported house, took photographs of the state of the forecourt. Anyway, the lady on the council wrote a letter to the owner, and we've at last got it cleared, but it's taken 3 months. It was absolutely full of rubbish, and the houses where they don't put the bins out on collection day, they just pile up black bags of rubbish in the front forecourt, which we're now seeing rats in the area, which we never had before. And we were told by one lady on the Labour Council, on the council, that we must be seeing things because the drains on the avenue are not big enough for rats to get in and out of. But we've We've had a number. We came out of our house one morning and there was a dead rat on our front. So we had to ring the council to come and dispose of it.
You say that you never saw rats before. Tell me about your house when you moved in. Did you have to do a lot of work on it?
Well, I did do, because I altered the windows, which the woodwork was rotten, and did some alterations inside. Also, we only had a very small kitchen, so we built a new extension on the back to make a bigger kitchen. So we spent quite a bit on the house over time. But then in 2007, at the floods, we had to move out for 8 months while the house was done. So that was a big upheaval, because all our children live away. So my husband and I had to move out to another house and then move back with no help whatsoever. So that was a big thing for us. We did ask for help from the council, but we didn't get any.
Well, you moved far away.
We had to find that house ourselves. So we were 3 weeks looking for one. But we managed to get one off Champlin's Avenue.
And describe to me those floods. When were they?
2007. It was just the middle part of the avenue that was flooded. So our street was flooded. But with the houses in the terraces only have a small front step, so the water went inside. But we're on the front of the street and we have 2 steps up. But it didn't come into the house. It went through the air bricks underneath, so there was water came up the walls. So, which was awful, because the smell was terrible. But it was only because it rained so hard the drains couldn't take the water, because the drains are not cleaned very often. And after the floods, we were promised that they would be cleaned more regularly, but they haven't been cleaned for at least 2 years now. And the road down our street was recently resurfaced. Well, it'll be about 9 months ago, and all the loose chippings have filled the gutter and they've never been swept up, despite me sending an email to the local councillor asking if this was going to be done, because now all these chippings are going down the drains. So they're going to make them more blocked than they already are.
You mentioned that you used to live at the Queen's Road end of Newland Avenue. Was that still a drain when you moved there?
Oh, yes. Yes. And when we were children.
So tell me about the drains that were there.
Well, when Newland was first started building on it, it had been swamp and they drained it off, and they put in all these drains that went right round the area. And from Queen's Road, it went across to Skullcoats Lane and then round, and it drained into the River Hull. So it kept all this land drained all the time. And then when they decided to fill in the drains, the houses now have standing water under them, which makes them damp. But when we were flooded, while they were doing the work, we paid for a concrete subfloor to be put in the bottom. So our house is perfectly dry because we haven't got the standing water. So it's making, I think, the houses deteriorate because they're damp all the time.
Was there another drain at the top end of the avenue too?
Cottingham Road, it went all the way round the land. So it kept it all drained. The houses on Cottingham Road drained into that, and this end of Newland drained into the Cottingham Road drain, and that came all the way from Cottingham. And then it came right round from Cottingham and then down. It wasn't just down Queen's Road. The houses, it ran alongside the houses at the bottom of Newland Avenue, right the way up. So it, when it surrounded the area, which kept all the properties dry, especially with the allotments, because the water that sank through the allotments, it runs down into the streets off that side of Newland Avenue. So that side, the houses are damper than the other side, because, but that all drained into the Queen's Road drain and right the way round. So now all the water that's seeping through the allotments are running down the streets. So they've all got standing water underneath.
At the top end of Newland Avenue where that drain was, there was the sailor's home. Do you remember that? You had children when you were in Newland Avenue, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you bring them up to the sailor's home at all?
Oh, yes. We used to come up to... in the summer, they had a big carnival. And usually, bonfire night, they would have a firework display. And at other times, they would have parades and children's things in there. So we used to come quite a lot and they enjoyed it. And we passed regularly because my children went to St. John's school. So, but I knew quite a few children that went to the school in the orphanage. But yet it was quite good when things were going on in the orphanage, because then the children all mixed, the children of the avenue and surrounding areas. They used to come from the Northall estate and Cottingham and everything. It was always absolutely crowded when there was something on at the orphanage. So I think it was good for the orphanage children as well, mixing with the local children.
You mentioned your children went to St John's. Was that the only school in the area?
No, there was Newland Avenue, that was open, and Sidmouth Street, and then the one in the orphanage, and then St John's.
So we still have nearly all of those except the primary school. Have you been involved with any of the campaigns to save the primary school, Newland Avenue Primary School?
No, I wasn't, because by that time my children were grown up and moved away. My youngest son, he went to Cambridge to college and he stayed there. My oldest son was in the Navy, and after the Falklands War he was stationed in Scotland in Birkenhead, so he married a Scots girl, so his family are there in Scotland. So we're quite isolated now. My nearest sister lives opposite the Old Royal. So, but now the family's all, well, my mother had three of us before the war, and then she had four after the war. So we're in two families. Well, three of my brothers have passed away, so there's only one brother left who's moved to Lincolnshire, and my two younger sisters. So one of them lives out in Preston, and the other one lives opposite Hull Royal.
So you said before that you felt quite isolated. It must have been very different when you were growing up as a child. You mentioned coming up to the cinema here.
Yeah.
Can you remember any films that you saw?
Not really. Quite a lot of black and white films. I used to come with my two oldest brothers, one that was older than me and one just a bit younger. So my mother used to sometimes, and if we'd been doing helpful and things with the younger ones, or helping Dad on the allotment, she used to treat us to the cinema. And I remember for the three of us, it cost us half a crown, which was 12.5p in new money. So it was quite good. But by the time the younger ones got old enough to go to the cinema, it was closed. When it was a working man's club, I did go once or twice with a neighbour who'd also lost her husband and was on her own. So I did go in the Pike Club a few times. But in them days, it closed at 11 o'clock, not 3 o'clock in the morning like it does now.
What was it like inside? Do you remember the inside of the cinema or the Piper?
Yes, you didn't have all separate little cinemas like you do now. It was just one big cinema, and you queued up in what's the forecourt, and then just inside the doors was the kiosk where you paid, and it was cheaper at the front of the cinema than it was at the back. But remember when we were young, they used to have curtain seats at the back of the cinema, which were double seats. So a lot of the courting couples used to sit at the back. And I remember once going with my first husband before we got married, and we went in and the Rusherette was showing us into these double seats at the back. And my husband said, "I want to go further forward, I've come to see the film." So, the usherette and me just burst out laughing. But now, when you go to the cinema, they're all separate, aren't they? Tiny little cinemas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's different experience.
Yes.
So, what other things were there to do down the avenue? Was there any other sort of entertainment?
No. Well, there was the youth club at Newland Avenue School. That was going when we were youngsters, and it's only recently closed down when they sold the school, which is a shame because it's left nothing for the teenagers to do. You could go there from being 13, until you were 13. We used to go to, at yon end of Queen's Road was a Methodist church on the corner. So we used, my brothers went to Boys Brigade there, and I went to the Girls Brigade, and also we had after service hour. We used to go to the service Sunday evening when we were teenagers. Then we had what was called after service hour, where we went to another church, another Methodist church in the area, for another, well, it was more or less a sing-song, where everybody got together and sang hymns and things. And that's how I first come to go into the Newland Methodist Church. We came there as children to the after service hour there. As teenagers, you didn't go to after service hour until you turned about 13. But my father, he was brought up down Lambert Street, so he went to Boys Brigade in Lambert Street Methodist School, and he played the bugle there. So, so really, I've got connections to Newland through my father for a long, long time.
There's a number of churches actually down the avenue still, isn't there? There's
only these two now. There used to be. There was one down Princess Road, and there was the Methodist down Queen's Road, and also St Augustine's, which was the Church of England. And then the Methodist Church here at the top.
So Methodism was quite strong, so there was three in a short area.
Yes. So there was also another two on Beverley Road, towards town, between Queen's Road and the city centre.
When you first came to the Avenue, just thinking back, to the area that you are in, were you aware of any bomb damage, any plots of land that hadn't been built on since?
Oh, yes. We've only just 5 years ago had one built on near us at the bottom of Melbourne Street, and we had to fight and fight to get something done because wagons were coming down and cars and turning round on this bomb site, and it made a delve in the ground, and it got deeper and deeper until it was deep enough that if a toddler fell face down, they could have drowned. So this is what we pointed out to the council. So now it's been made into residence car parks, but it's mainly used by people who work in the shops.
Is that the only area that you can think of?
No, there was another one, a couple of streets up from us. At the back, but there's garages on it now. That was still, and there's one at the top of Alexandra Road where there's garages now. That was another area that's never been built on. It was many, many years before the ones down Skullcoats Lane were built on. And then they decided to build council houses on.
So we've gone right from the top to the bottom of the avenue. What do you think it is that makes Newland Avenue special?
I don't know. I don't think it is as much now as it used to be. We've always had the university, but when it was smaller, the university owned a lot of houses themselves. So as the university got bigger and bigger, we started getting more and more students in the houses. And that, in the first place, was what made residents started to move out, because that's when the houses that were rented out to students started deteriorating. So that's when more and more residents said, we're not living among this mess, we're moving out. Because until then, they were all privately owned, so everybody took a pride in their house, and the area was kept beautiful with plants in the front, and the streets was, the pavements were swept outside each house. It was lovely. But as we started getting the students moving out onto the avenue and all the mess started, that's when people decided to move out.
So you think that some of the changes definitely haven't been for the better. Was there anything else that you might want to add to your story of the avenue?
Not really. We've got some really good memories of the avenue and the way it was. But if we were younger, we definitely would move away now. But at our age, it's too late for us to move. It would be too big an upheaval. at the and there is one good thing about the avenue. We can still just nip on the avenue for groceries, and we've got the bank. We've still got the wet fish shop and greengrocers, and we can get food quite easily. We're also quite handy with the medical centre, and it's a good bus route. So there is still those points that are good for us. Otherwise, you know, we would move now, even with all the upheaval. But it would mean, you know, we wouldn't be so handy for buses and the doctors and the shops. Whereas at our age, that's what we need the most. We can get a bus on the avenue right into the gates of Castlehill Hospital. So Charlie's given up driving now. He's 83, so he's had enough. So we can still get around with it being on a good bus route.
So, well, thank you, Carol. Thank you for all of those thoughts and recollections.